Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, your favorite duo. And this is Home Run, your favorite drive time show on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we always have one exciting topic for you. But before we get there, how's the afternoon? Wherever you find yourself, we hope all is well. If you have some minor issues going on in life, well, such is life. I think challenges are going to pop up left, right, and center. Whether we like it or not, it's just one of those, call it occupational hazard of being alive. All you just have to do is be alive and challenges are going to, you know, they're a part of it. Sometimes they are there to basically, well, spice up life. Now, the funny thing is, as a species, we tend to be bored when everything is going well. So we just go around looking for trouble. At least that's how, that's my perception of people that go, you know, go around doing things like bungee jumping. And, something I discovered, more like not discovered, came across yesterday was something called the hedonic treadmill, a very interesting psychological concept that behind the reason why we are never satisfied at anything. Don't worry, we are coming back to the National Council Standing Committee, the one that we talked about yesterday, albeit they were looking on a different, yesterday's discussion was based on that, on the Standing Committee. Looking at the correctional facilities and correctional facilities and holding cells. Now, today they were, today is about the same guys produced the same report looking at the status of of Namibia's boundaries, what is required, which agencies, ministries plays a significant role. But we're gonna get to that in a few. Now, hedonic treadmill is why we are never satisfied. So we. That's why we have a problem appreciating the smaller things in life. We always want to chase something new. You get it, and then you are bored to death. Yeah, then we are bored to death. Then we start chasing something new again. The next thing you know, you are, well, greeting St. Peter at the gate and regretting that, no, I haven't lived. So just appreciate the finer things, so more like the finer things, the small things in life. And the big things, if you have, big house, big cars, big people around you, and big bank account, show off.
Police officer.
Yeah, big bank account. Oh yeah, it's the 20th. Congratulations, guys! Not two. Congratulations.
I just came from an event where the other half of that very very patriotic segment of the public service was trumpeting and marching and parading.
Trumpeting?
Yeah, the police brass band was there.
I can imagine the traffic.
Things were nice. It's just, I still don't know why I had to wait for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I saw that on the group. I was like, hey.
Now, when you see Dwight start doing things like that on the work group, Helmut, I was annoyed. I was annoyed for an hour and a half. So the program is an hour and a half long.
Yeah. You waited for an hour and a half.
We waited for 3 hours. But anyway, not gonna mention names.
Yeah.
I mean before.
I know somewhere between the names and the event, somewhere in there is all protocol observed.
No, a lot of it. A lot of it.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
And even police associated. That's why I'm not mentioning names. I will definitely get called.
I know.
By the Namibian Police Communications Department in NAMPO. I will not mention names. Like,
okay, you know what? We're not inviting you anymore.
You, Dwight, you are persona non grata. Don't say things like that.
Those are the things I say. I think that's one of the reasons why I should actually start going in the field. My fear is I'm gonna get punched in the face because of the things that come out of this mouth sometimes.
No, the number of people will like you, Helmut. Like you said multiple times.
No, those are my homies.
Yeah, the number of people will like you. Yeah. It's the teachers and the police.
Yeah. I have a cousin who's a teacher.
Okay, you're safe for now.
The mom is a police officer. I hope you guys know.
Where is she? Because if she's there in Kavango,
they're all in Dubundo.
Kavango is, its protection is not in commas, ne?
That would be a lot. Okay. Thank you for busting my bubble. So.
Or in Ojodon Jupa, which is a very big region.
Ojodon Jupa. Yeah, where there was once a farm of, Jamaican affiliation.
Yeah, of holy herbness and, trying to find, the jhanas in life.
Yeah. Jah bless. But anyway, back to Homran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's discussion is, like I pointed out earlier, is also, at least our main source of reference in today's discussion is, coming out of the National Council, as of yesterday, and also as of yesterday that, the National Council Standing Committee on home affairs, security, constitutional, legal affairs. Albeit yesterday was the same committee looking at holding cells, more like in the correctional, correctional service area. Today's one is one of the same committee producing a report, which is based on looking at our, Namibia's border management systems, like Namibian border management, more like mechanisms.
Mm.
Yeah. And how are we doing? And which ministries, offices, and agencies play? Now you have multiple ministries, offices, and agencies, each of which play different roles to achieve this, border security and more like a proper border movements with our neighboring countries, and including obviously those ones that are flying in. But obviously to pull off the obviously to manage the ins and outs of a house or more like of a club, you have bouncers, which is why the first thing that comes in my head when I think about immigration guys, I'm like, so these guys are just national bouncers. But anyway, I'm never leaving this country, am I?
It's now, an interesting picture you take of the immigration guys, Hamoud.
National bouncers. I hope all of them have muscle.
Yeah, sure, but they are a little bit lenient.
Yeah. Because bouncers. Well, to be fair, people crossing are not drunk, which is bouncers have to deal with.
The other thing is obviously the immigration guys, when they, when they let you through, that was based on the notion that obviously everything was okay, except most now for those
approved.
Except as though for those people who decide to walk over the border without crossing at the valid point.
Yeah. My great-grandmother walked this.
Don't know where this fence came from, when you're sitting there on the border, ne, between Odibo all the way to Oshikango, ne, you see the holes in the fence.
Yeah.
I asked multiple colleagues here. You remember that exercise that I did last year where I asked a whole bunch of colleagues, have you guys seen the border between Namibia and Angola? And they would say, yes. And then I asked them, is there a fence between Namibia and Angola? Then on one response I got last year was, hey, somehow. And then the other one was like, yes, there's a fence. And then I asked, what kind of a fence is it? Well, in certain patches, Dwight, it's literally a fence where a whole herd of cattle can literally walk through.
So it's a makeshift gate.
It's, that too. Makeshift. Emphasis on makeshift.
Your popular $99 combo is back at Usave. Get 1 kilogram of each Rice King rice, Top Score Obokoma Super Maize Meal, Sugar King white or brown sugar, 500 grams of Pasta Polana or Pasta King, and 750 milliliter Right Brand sunflower seed oil. That's 5 essential products for only 99 Namibian dollars. Usave. I save. Yes, we all save at Usave.
Onda karahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife, ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka, ne data, no shoyo outu ngwaraka vahupi. O netu wekaimwe, okufutarumwe, oku inyengarumwe, oku japandali, fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga onetiwe kawoyo, hai dira dira, ya fange, omafikuwa amwe, ohandi streaming, omafikuwa amwe, ohandi popi, omafikuwa amwe, ohandi ningaishe, poshikanto shimwe, pamwe na parateza, oenda holora, ame haishi pangere, osho, paumwene. Dira dira omakota fanoni data, momkaro wili, mwana parika okutuma kutumaraka, okustreaminga, nokudenga pamwe na parateza. Konga, Parates, Namibia. Always,
always Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo, ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM, otuna evi toda njuka, okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special, getashia kengeshe faa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendife nawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge fata fanona, monika ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, omafilane Eagle FM VI.
Welcome back, and we continue. We have 13 minutes left to the hour of 5. We just walked in here, so Homran, now if you just started driving and if you just tuned in, don't worry, you didn't miss much. We're still with you, so we continue.
Prince,
besides the, you know, the bouncer reference.
Yeah, so when I did that little exercise between our colleagues here, Helmut.
Yeah. Have you seen a fence?
No, yeah, did you, have you, is there a fence? Because I'm doing that in reference to the almost border incident that those Namibian farmers caused by, our president now, currently, when she was still Minister of International Relations, had to like appease any flames or situations that could pop up.
Diplomatic tension.
Yeah, when she and her counterpart from Angola met in 2020, or was it end of 2023? Yeah, end of 2023. So, that particular talking point, when I saw that border this year, and mind you, dear listeners, our discussion today is about selected border posts that were visited by the Standing Committee of the National Council. When I saw that border this year, and I really also wanted to see, you know, the guys that were smuggling the Angolan fuel between, into Namibia.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in like 5 liter volumes, sometimes in a big, PVC paint, what's that thing's name? A bucket,
yeah.
That PVC paint bucket, that tall one,
yeah.
A 25 liter one.
Yeah.
And in many cases, you can obviously see these are, you know, Angolans that, you know, they don't have much, opportunities, you know, wherever they live on the other side of the border. Which makes things also a bit precarious for us Namibians, because you can obviously see what is trying to be done in Namibia. And what is trying to be done in Namibia is that you invest in local infrastructure, local services. You try to make things as conducive as possible for, not just private businesses or the private sector, but also for residents across the country. So when the tour guide Helmut in August told us that's the border, because I asked him, his name is Martin, is that the border, that fence that I'm seeing? He says, yes, Dwight, that's the Namibia-Angola border. Helmut, it's a barbed wire fence. It's that full barbed wire, not the roll barbed wire that you put on top of just a regular fence.
So the whole fence is
barbed wire? Is barbed wire.
Okay.
The whole fence is barbed wire. Do you know how big those holes are in the fence?
Mm-hmm.
Holes, plural.
Yeah, well, you did say they're big enough for a whole head of cattle.
To walk through.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. That is the issue. Do you know what was the other issue that I also saw?
Yeah.
Because then the tour guide explained to me, Dwight, do you see that guy in the green military uniform? that looks like a military uniform? I said, yes. First, I thought that the guy was a correctional services officer, because I know Namibia's correctional services wear green. And then he said, no, that's the Angolan border
patrol
uniform. That's their immigration officials. So you now had a fully fledged immigration official from Angola drinking local brews on Namibia side.
Yeah, that's not neat.
Chilling there, drinking a nice ice cold beer as well, enjoying Namibian brews. And then Humbo walks back to his job with his rifle.
Yeah.
On the other side of the border. And that primarily is also some of the particular things that we Namibians, we see a lot.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, you see these things, you know. Even you yourself, Helmut, you love telling us, you know, the wonderful stories about white water rafting up and down the Kavango River?
Yep.
Okay, it's not white water because there are no rapids. Okay, there are probably rapids at the top.
They're actually avoided.
The rapids.
Yeah, there are a lot
of rapids. So there are rapids.
They are.
Okay, so yeah. And one of the key things also, like the other stories that France also likes to tell us sometimes about the Zambezi River, river crossings that take place, that it's the Zambians that decide to walk through the river and the Namibians decide to walk across the bridge. You see, at least we Namibians, we know about using the infrastructure that it is meant for.
Nah.
No,
it's just gonna swim. Like,
we love abiding by rules. And also, as long as it's peaceful enough.
We like comfort.
Exactly.
Me, swim, nah.
Yeah, who wants to get wet while you're still wearing your Havaianas?
No,
it just feels weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Havaiana, your foot, the level of wetness in that combination is just uncomfortable.
Very.
Yeah, and you'll be the only one sounding like a frog walking on dry land, floppity flop everywhere, you know, just going flop, 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 and everybody's looking at
it. Sounding like chewing gum.
Because literally, who wants to enjoy that experience? No one. So yeah, you were still saying, Amud, about the...
Oh yeah.
The comfort.
Oh yeah, definitely. We like our comfort. But the thing is, look, I think I found my favorite report though. Let me explain why. See, this is the National Council Standing Committee on Home Affairs and Security and Security, Constitutional and Legal Affairs. Home Affairs, Security, Constitutional and Legal Affairs. Now, well, this is the same committee that we were talking about yesterday. But today, you see, they are just sort of zoning in on one thing, our border system. Albeit the report itself is, is them or basically looking at, the previous oversight visits that they have conducted.
Yeah.
For the past 3 years, the previous oversights they have conducted, and the recommendations they have provided to different office agencies, ministries. How far are these all these entities, both offices, agencies, and ministries? How far are they from? What progress have they made with regards to the implementation or adoption of these recommendations?
Mm.
Yeah, and then they now compile a whole list of those agencies, offices, and ministries. When they were visited, what was their response?
Oh, and governors.
Yo.
And the governors was.
Let's save the best for last. Ministry of Works. I'll be with you guys shortly. But
now you're gonna put a target on us, Almud.
Oh no! Look, this in the report. This is a public document. I didn't compile it, but Minister of Works, guys, you wanna know how long their response was?
How long?
3 lines, paragraph.
You're not serious.
Oh no!
Look, I just came from a joint Minister of Works, Minister of Home Affairs, platform, and specifically
Minister of Agriculture, 5 paragraphs.
Yeah.
Minister of Agriculture, 5 paragraphs. Ministry of Finance, about 6-7 paragraphs. National Planning Commission, 2 paragraphs. Where are those? Where are those works, guys? So you have Ministry of Agriculture, you have Ministry of Works and Transport. One paragraph. It's right here. Just go to page 6. Oh, you're going to love this one.
No, I'm there. I'm there. Eish, these guys.
I know.
The Ministry of Works failed to attend all three stakeholder meetings. And therefore, all activities outlined in the National Action Plan that the ministry was responsible for to execute remains unaccounted for by the time of this committee had concluded its legislative work for the 6th National Council. Look, so this is the same National Council that was now going to be replaced after this elections.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, look. First of all, in the beginning, I was this close to saying, oh, no, this Minister of Works guys, like, what were they doing here? And then I was like, okay, actually, that makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, I totally forgive them because, National Action Plan. Because now the first two sentences reads, Ministry of Works and Transport, as you just read it, failed to attend all the three stakeholder engagements, sessions, and therefore all activities outlined in the National Action Plan. And then, it turns out when abbreviated, National Action Plan spells NAP. I'm like, oh, well, maybe they were taking a nap throughout this whole three stakeholder engagements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now, when you look at this, I think it makes a lot of sense, makes a lot of sense when you go back to the point you kept referencing with regards to this event. To this report with the NAMRA, prefab, facilities.
Mm.
Yeah. Doesn't that to some degree fall under the mandate? The works guys?
This was the event that took place.
This was the event.
Yeah. This took place in 2025. In this year, in September. This was the thing that you and I wanted to talk about. Remember? And it was a video.
Mm-hmm.
And then this report shows up and I'm like, hey, hey.
Hallelujah. Now, look.
And it was at that one visit, was it the visit at Mamuno? That the NAMRA official there explained mm-hmm. about the project that was just abandoned by the contractor.
Yeah.
That was there to construct stuff.
Yeah.
It's technically this particular.
How many of those facilities were supposed to be built? I think they're about 30 something.
Yeah, it was more than 10.
They're about 30 something, but, I think it's about only.
And it was just at
21 of them were built and the rest were not finished.
Yeah, it was just at that one spot specifically.
Yeah. Oh.
Where the council members or this committee members showed up and they were given a tour by the local NAMRA. Okay, I can't say local NAMRA. That makes it sound a little bit weird. By the highest ranking NAMRA official that is in charge of, affairs there. And he showed them obviously the condition in terms of what the officials have to live in. Meaning you've got partially built, what can we call those things? Accommodation facilities.
Yeah.
And the others is like, they have to split it with, they have to split all that which is finished. Between that large contingent of officials that have to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But that it would have been the most desirable position would have been that the contractor finished all the construction work. Remember, it's someone that was already contracted. Who had tendered.
Yeah. The one that came back and said, I underquoted you guys. So therefore I can't do this anymore unless we renegotiate the terms.
Yeah.
Commercial break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintuk Original or Vintuk Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. Namra official.
Yeah, so the important thing here to understand is literally that that visit literally coincides with what this report also cites, because just to share with the listeners, the reason as to why this report actually comes about, or for why the video that I made reference to that exists, because it was recorded and shared by, you know, the communications office of the National Council, was obviously they did have, you know, the information officers with the councillors. They went with the councillors to the border posts, and obviously they made these short video illustrations just for us to see, you know, and obviously for the public to know what the councillors are doing. Now, this obviously means that this report, Helmut, helps to explain the broader picture for all of us, because we needed to understand, okay, so why did the councillors just, you know, randomly show up at Mamuno and be told and given a tour of, you know, half-baked buns and fully-baked buns right next to each other, and, you know, just flour and dough lying somewhere else? It is born from a discussion. Now, here's the one of the weird things, and I always try to understand sometimes, you know, when we establish our reports in government, when you say there was a previous report, what was in the previous report as a summary, just like the report of yesterday that we highlighted?
Yeah.
But you, because it's being referenced here, previous report, have recommendations been delivered or been met or been implemented?
Yeah.
And what's the status of work currently? All we know right now was, we can clearly see that particular video of the Mamuno visit, the issues that the Namara officials sit with there, and some of the particular things cited in this report that speak to that visit. Because it's not just Ministry of Works that didn't show up to his stakeholder engagements. It's also Ministry of Finance, somewhat. So two ministries failed to show up and participate in sharing information with these councillors. Now, what did our Bible say, Helmut, about the oversight committees and the oversight reports? If we are trying to hold literally government officials responsible or to task for what they're supposed to deliver, meaning how they also interact with the private sector to procure services and goods,
yeah,
for literally for them to be able to do their work. So first and foremost, the first question we got to ask is, whose responsibility was it to contract that contractor that created the mess at Mamuno?
Yeah.
Because we will come back to the Oshakati High Court to always, Helmut.
Yeah, we will. And I think that's one of those things that speaks to one of the reasons why public and the private partnership needs to be
reevaluated,
like on, you know, like from a lot of angles.
Yeah.
Because, that, that is actually part of those, part of that partnership.
Mm.
You know, the public sector needing a service, and then there's someone in the private sector who's capable of, of offering this service.
Mm.
The thing is, disagreements like these are always going to pop up. How you settle them, the dispute resolution in this public-private partnership, is something that must really be looked at, because in the event like that, because someone is already claiming that, oh, you know what, I can't complete the project you gave me because I underquoted you.
Yeah.
Now, in the event of a dispute, more like a disagreement or claims like that, what happens? Yeah. Because now we are sitting with, staff that needs accommodation.
Mm.
And they are in, partially completed with a lot of outstanding structures that have not even been built yet.
Mm.
Now, again, these are part of, it's a, occupational hazard of interacting with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether we like it or not, disputes like that are going to arise. It's how we solve them after that, because at the end of the day, the goal is to resolve the dispute so that the structures can be completed, so the staff is they are in structures and environment conducive enough for them to be effective at what they do, which is keep our borders safe, among others. Now, speaking of accountability, it's also in the report. That was actually my favorite part. One of the objective of the assessment oversight visits was to determine whether the standing committee's oversight efforts over the past 3 years have brought significant changes to the state of border post in the area identified. As per, it's all basically all based on the previous recommendations.
Yeah.
The reason behind here is a very simple one. To ensure that the respective offices and ministries and agencies that should play their respective roles in executing border related problems are being effective at what they do, and wherever they are screw ups, they are held accountable. First of all, it's identified where they are screwing up, and they are held accountable. Except when you look at it like that, you begin to see problems arising left, right, and center. The first one being the incomplete structure. They are now sitting there with someone saying, I can't complete this project because I'm just coming to my realization that I underquoted you, which I think I didn't help you do the math.
Mm.
You did the calculations yourself. And then you gave me the documents that I acted on.
Mm.
And now all of a sudden it's my fault. Now, I know that when it comes to these things, a bunch of agreements, or more like we call them contracts, are basically assigned between all these different entities. This is where everything is now going to boil down to one thing. What were the terms of agreement in the event of one of them, abandoning duty? What happens after? Because you have two entities that came together to sort of like try to alleviate the problems that to help the staff that is making sure that our borders are safe, to make sure that they are as comfortable as possible for them to be in the right state of mind to do their jobs, except they are not and have not been for the past 3 years.
There's an interesting development also here, Helmut. There's a whole page missing
in the report.
Yeah, between page 3 is missing. Yeah.
You know,
I'm this close to it, to WhatsApping the comms division of the parliament. But anyway, because it doesn't flow adequately. I mean, it helps to explain the accommodation discussion, obviously the visit to the Namra guys at the Mamuno post, because it says here, the Ministry of Home Affairs has achieved most or some of the recommendations with regards to accommodation, sanitation, potable water supply for the officials at these various posts, as well as also the acquisition of functioning vehicles to do, border patrols.
Yeah.
The fascinating thing here is that, I'm not going to go on a goose hunt or a witch hunt or any of that kind of hunt situation, because I would have loved to see what the rest where page 3 went.
Before you WhatsApp them, could you please go to page 5? and tell me what page is after 5.
6.
No?
Oh, there's 3.
You're welcome. Now,
there's 3. Yeah, that's a good thing. Thank you, Helmut.
Just misscanned and misstapled.
Yeah.
Don't worry if you are going through the report.
I mean, yesterday's report was a nightmare for me. You know, reading that thing before we stepped into the studio because I was like, what is this with this English? What was this? Because, I mean, you had Stuart for stood and weird things going on in that. Anyway. Don't worry.
Okay. In Elizabeth's language, no go be the end of us. Of course.
So it also noted specifically that the ministry was also at advanced stages of securing funds to continue addressing the housing shortages across the board, specifically at all these border facilities, which speaks towards that there are multiple contractors that are contracted to do the same thing that they were supposed to do, for example, like at the Mamuno situation. Reason why I cite the, you know, and understand it under a Minister of Home Affairs, sort of like a funding exercise. It's because, Helmut, at this, what's this thing's name? At this roadblock that I came from just now.
Yeah.
You see Namibian police, you see NAMRA, you see customs, which is NAMRA, not customs and excise officials. You see roads authority officials, you see who's the other guys? There's another unit there. It's also based there. But all in all, and much of these guys are literally a collaboration between the two ministries of works and Ministry of Home Affairs. Why? Okay. NAMRA is a Ministry of Finance. Functionary. But, MVA, Roads Authority, Road Fund Administration, National Road Safety Council, all those guys are functionaries of works. Predominantly. Why I say predominantly is obviously because they also have the overlay.
Maybe there's a sprinkling of roads.
No, a sprinkling of Ministry of Finance's oversight over them as well. Remember that the other half of Ministry of Finance's name is Public Enterprises. So you will have most ministries, most SOEs will have two bosses. Ministry of Finance and the line ministry that they've originally subscribed to as per their original act formation.
In that case, then they will obviously all have
two bosses.
Yeah. Finance.
No, they will have these two bosses because If you go to Rhodes Contractor Company, Rhodes' original and still their first boss is Ministry of Works.
Yeah.
But because we've got now that extra oversight that under President Geingob came along and said, yeah, public enterprises, you have two bosses. Because even when the public enterprises was a ministry by itself, when we had that minister, what's his name? Leon Juster as a minister. When he had public enterprises by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, it was also confusing because the same SOEs still had their line minister. And now they had this new minister to subscribe to and report to. And then obviously when the Air Namibia thing, you know, happened, which was a Ministry of Works, Ministry of SOEs, now you rope in a Ministry of Finance to come and close down this SOE, you sit with a conundrum. And then what happened after that? We had the, what was that thing's name? The merger of ministries take place.
Yeah.
That's why we obviously saw the new merger of ministries also take place once again. But yeah, before we continue, guys, ad break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. 16 past the hour of 5. You're still with Home Run. So we're still with the report here.
Yeah, we're still with the report, guys. Yeah. And we're still with sort of like slightly unbundling what needs to be unbundled. So, yes, it sounds all good when you hear that Ministry of Home Affairs reported to this National Council Standing Committee that, yes, what they are doing, the infrastructure implementation and installation exercises that that they've been ongoing so far for the past 3-4 years, is that it's their budget that they're implementing. Because if you read that sentence, Amo, that says, the ministry, that's the page 3 that's after page 5, just to let you know. The ministry is at the advanced stages of securing funds to continue addressing the housing shortages across the board, meaning at all these particular points of crossing for the border officials, the immigration and border patrol officials that we've got. In terms of addressing the Standing Committee's recommendation on the possibility to gazette additional border posts to address illegal border crossings, hint, hint, what Dwight saw, gaping holes in fences, the ministry reported that an additional 5 border posts in Kunene, Kavango East, Zambezi has been gazetted. However, these border posts are not operationalized as yet. As yet.
Just hang in there.
Just hold your breath, guys.
Yeah.
Don't die. Just hold your breath. So, it's an interesting particular status report to give. Why do I say it's interesting, Hamoud? It's because Kavango East, which is where Rundu is as a head with its administrative capital, they've got that whole river there. Now, I do know that there are smaller border crossings, which are like, literally, you can sit on this side of the wall, I'm on the other side of the wall, and this 1 meter distance is the border. There are such instances. Okay, not literally like a meter wide, guys, I'm sorry. I'm just joking. But if you are literally in Rundu, people in Rundu told me that you can literally walk across the river, because at that point where the river or where Rundu stands. Mm-hmm. There's a particular part of Rundu, Rundu beaches, if we now think of left and right. Mm-hmm. On the left hand side, if you're looking into Angola in Rundu, and you're standing in Rundu, Rundu Beach would be on your left. It's the side here as you are at the hotel, that hotel that's literally on the river bank.
You're standing looking northwards.
Yeah, you're looking into Angola.
Yeah.
But you're standing in the hotel, or you're standing in that main street of Rundu, which is technically like two main streets of Rundu. And if you walk rightwards, meaning you are walking to Zambezi's direction, there is a point that was explained to us where there's a specific bridge between Namibia and Angola, and the two authorities, the two governments, literally sit like on the river. You know, they sit on the river banks, their posts. Mm. So the river literally becomes like this midway transition point.
Natural border.
Situation, yeah. But that the situation is like that. It's so narrow, you can stroll across. It's literally like the Zambezi crossing into Zambia and back into Namibia. It's a short-ish bridge. It might be slightly, you know, sturdy because of obviously, the kinds of traffic that can flow over it. But you can literally, it's like less than 100 meters, then you're in the other country.
There's one I know, the last time I was there, they had, they're still using, paddling crossing mechanisms.
Paddling crossing.
Yeah. I had to be, you know, go all full verbosity on that one.
You forget that you were in that line of business, Hamoud.
Oh no, I'm still an expert at, I'm still an expert at rowing canoes. I mean, it's, okay, I think I, something that I did for a very long time, it's sort of like muscle memory.
Yeah, second nature.
Second nature. If you go to these places and you see just a bunch of people that are swimming in high current water, they make it look very simple, but I think it's one of those things of repetition. You do it one too many times, again it becomes you know second nature. There's this place called Kakuchi. It's just across it's about I think 15-20 is twenty 25 kilometers west of Divundu. You find this place called Kakuchi. It's just across the Kavango River. They also have a checkpoint there, like where they just facilitate this like 1 or 2 day visit type of things that you have there, where you can just produce a piece of document.
And the stamp sometimes just miraculously disappears.
You know, when your uncle is the one with a stamp, it's not that difficult.
And he decides to go have Sunday lunch.
Now, the thing is, it's one of those things where, it keeps taking us to the Berlin conference, because, you know, these borders are tearing in between family members. And now the leaders that basically adopted these borders, which is where we find ourselves right now, they now have to find out how to tell, like they have to respectively figure out how to explain to their people, to their respective people, that you know what, that way of doing things, the years of yesteryear, that's not how we are doing things anymore. Now we have to do it in a new way, that we basically keep stats of who is crossing, when are they crossing, so that we make sure that, not a bunch of deranged people are crossing over the border with a lot of illegal, with a lot of illegal goods.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that the people that are crossing are the ones that are, you know, good standing citizens of the country they're coming from. We don't want to be harboring fugitives, because that's exactly what happens when you start. If you have loose border control issues, one of the, suspected individual in the Namco case is at large. When you don't have, border issues, when you have border issues, you end up basically either housing people that have questionable reputation, or the people that commit crimes, or especially commit crimes in your country, can easily run, like really just hop in a canoe. Now, the Angolan government have to explain to their people that the olden way of crossing is not applicable anymore. And the Namibian government have to do the same. The Zambian government, the Zimbabwean government, basically the whole, all across the African continent, each government now have to explain to their people the new way of crossing these borders. Because, well, when the Berlin guys said to draw these borders, they didn't care who was on which side of the fence. All they cared was, which side is the gold that I have access to?
Yeah.
Who is on which side, and how they're going to figure out how they're going to visit each other after this whole status quo. That's none of our business. So now we're sitting here with one of those, and also, by the way, something I also found out just today. It turns out we are, it turns out Namibia is a signatory of, Namibia is a signatory of this, what organization is that? Momento, s'il vous plaît? Of the International Organization for Migration. It's
IMO.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a...
not to be confused with International Maritime Organization, which is the other thing Namibia is also supposedly part of. Maritime. Which is the one that Trump threatened a couple of days back about saying, oh, hey, don't sign this. You might face a tax. And then the EU goes and takes Namport CEO with him to another international platform to talk about how
the green shipping revolution will be the way to go. Yes, they're both IMO, IMO.
Green shipping?
Yeah.
As in running a shipping vessel.
A non-fossil fuel powered vessel.
You. Okay, now, hydrogen.
Mm.
I will go with that one.
Yeah.
Hydrogen, maybe.
No, but, they already made hydrogen engines.
Hydrogen
for ships.
Yeah, make one.
The port of Rotterdam is championing in the EU hydrogen-powered engines.
I'm saying let's go with hydrogen if we want to go green in the
because water can't explode into water.
but
that's the worst pun there.
But water can explode into water. Now hydrogen, hydrogen when it's separated from oxygen, it becomes insanely unstable.
I know.
Yeah, it goes kaboom like really fast. But I trust them to do the science on that one because the Japanese are already making headways in that department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen Toyota having its own dung supply for hydrogen production?
Japanese are very good at this.
They have a farm with cattle there. And all they do is just collect cattle.
And you all are complaining about methane. They are harnessing into their...
They're just collecting cattle dung to make hydrogen.
Look,
who would have thought of such a green fuel?
The Japanese, of course, they did. It's always the Japanese and the Germans coming up. Now, look, the reason why I'm pointing that out is because I was thinking green in terms of battery. How much lithium are you going to need for one ship?
I don't know, my guy. I really don't know.
Like a whole load of it. And I don't think you'll have enough for all the shipping vessels. So green hydrogen, I think, is a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
hydrogen.
All shipping activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. The downside is obviously the
insurance companies will be like, what's in there?
It's just missed now the whole politics play that took place between the Americans and then I think it's that week, Helmut, that you weren't here, the week just 3 weeks that way or 2 weeks that way that I had that particular discussion, because it was literally supposed to be the month where the world signs its first climate commitment, the green shipping. It was supposed to be their first, because shipping is all shipping activities is governed by this organization, which is also a UN agency.
Yeah.
And it was going to be the first global, green commitment that countries, industrialized, developed, developing, up and coming, emerging economy countries would have committed to. And then the Americans went like, nah.
I like to watch mega factories, right?
And guess who supported them? The Russians.
Same interest at some point.
And the Saudis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Makes sense. That's not...
The Russians and the Saudis.
Politics is very heavily influenced by interest.
Mm.
Everything else is secondary.
Mm.
Yeah. So... The International Organization for Migration points at some of the dilemmas nations basically have to go through in terms of this whole border discussion. My own type there, better. Border management. But they zoned into the two things they pointed out was that, while immigration offers a great potential to promote economic growth and social development through the skills, dynamism and innovation and the migrants, that migrants bring.
Not migrants, guys. Migrants.
Not migrants. Migrants.
No one is a headache yet.
Migrants, not migrants.
Unless you're someone's child.
If it's Mijolo related, like it happens. But,
you had to go there, Helmut.
I know.
You really had to go there.
Yeah.
People might just be crashing their cars because of that Mijolo statement.
No, Mijolo will make you go to your child's school, pick up a different child in camp, bring them home.
And then you get accused for kidnapping the wrong kid.
I'm sorry, officer.
And then your kid is still waiting. I saw my dad with another kid.
Mm-hmm.
He left me.
My dad is cheating on me with another kid.
How could he?
How dare he? Now, what's that? Yeah, so migrants bring skills, because the whole idea of tourism is based on people basically visiting. But also, countries also have to face, have to be mindful of the fact that safeguarding national security and combating transnational crimes such as trafficking, smuggling, etc., are just as important. So you want people to come into your country, because it's December, for example. A lot of during December holidays, we do see a lot of people coming out of landlocked countries like Botswana. Driving through, most of them drive through a lot of nearby towns. And then, because most of them just head straight to the coast. And these guys are participating in the economic activities in Namibia, contributing significantly to Namibia's economy. That's a positive thing. But here's the negative part is that, again, this is where immigration, I know, becomes very important now. Because it's their job is to make sure that the person that's coming from Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, that's coming into Namibia, is not running away from the Zimbabwe, Zambia, or Angolan authorities. For them to do that, they need infrastructure. They need they need the equipment that is required for them to do their job better. One of those infrastructure is basically housing. It's a very base. It's a basic need. Except, let's go and build them prefabricated, just temporary facilities for a while. And even those ones, we have a tit for tat, more like a tug of war between the public and private sector. The public guys going, oh, well, but we gave you money to build these structures. A private sector guy going, the point, on second thought, I think I underquoted you.
You know, it's the first time I ask people money back. Now give me back the money that you already have. You see, sometimes, not that I've met all public officials, but when you hear things out in a public report about, we still have issues with the contractor in terms of, doing the basic installation of things done. If I was the lead supervisor of that department that signed off on that particular, I would have gone and told that a contractor, listen, bruh, then pay back all the money that we already paid you. Just give back the money.
Yeah.
Then we will obviously see how far things go from there. Yes, I've done something like this before. If you guys are sitting there thinking Dwight has not got the guts about doing some, I have done this before.
The thing is, chances of them ending up in court.
I've done this before with a client, Helmut.
Just give me back the money.
No, I told them you're not going to get any more service. Mm-hmm. You still owe us money, and this was not when I got you to Eagle FM. Literally had a general manager shouting down my neck, what are you doing about getting the money, replacing the money loop? I said, listen, my guy, if you dispense a service to people, the basic agreement in the Credit Agreements Act is about you get 30 days to 45 days to pay your account. And in that time frame of 30 to 45 days, you don't find fault with the service that you've procured, then any complaints coming outside of that scope would be a discussion of you are just acting in bad faith.
So it's sort of like a statute of limitations or something.
Yeah. I mean, Hamoud, the basics are on the ground. The basics are on the ground in terms of, did you get the service? Yes. Did you already enjoy the service? Yes. Did you consume the service? Yes.
Did you approve the service?
Yes. Okay, I'll also put a slight question mark there, but that's not for us to expand in right now. However, in many cases, just like you pointed out to the procurement, the procurement amendments to the Procurement Act that were being positioned by both ministers, the previous Minister of Finance and the current Minister of Finance, about trying to resolve disputes at the procurement level. At the heart is also a discussion of,
are we really seeing public-private sector or public-private partnerships actually being engaged in under the subject matter of being in good faith or operating in good faith? Look, anyone can come and tell me, don't come and use airy fairy language to try and make a particular concept sound as, you know, more inflated as what it's supposed to be. No, that's not the point. The point is, it's a discussion of, okay, you've got a service, I have the money. It's basics. When you walk to a shop, Helmut, the shop won't ask you, Helmut, how is your day? Are your feet aching?
Nah.
And the moment you say, yes, my feet are aching, and they don't do anything to solve the aching foot situation
that they asked about,
even though they asked about it, which point technically shows you that they didn't care. So why would you ask about caring on a certain particular notion if Helmut is just there to buy a bottle of Coke? They only want the money that you budgeted for what you're going to procure from them. So when we're talking about acting in good faith, acting in bad faith dimensions, these, yes, they might seem as elevated subject matters in the basic engagements of contracts of purchase and sale. But at the heart of everything is, did you agree on the price? Did you agree on a deadline? Did you agree on delivery? And did you agree upon the specifications of the thing? Meaning the product. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've referenced this as well in a previous discussion. The essentialia, the essentials to any contract of purchase and sale. Identify those elements, then the contract exists. So you really want to tell me, Helmut, that whether it's the number of officials or whether it's the officials in the Ministry of Works or the officials in the Ministry of Home Affairs, when there's a contractor that do them over about delivery of the job, by coming back after they got paid the money and saying, yeah, but I quoted you guys too few. For what?
You know what comes in my head when I hear that? I just want that dispute to go to court.
I also want that dispute to go to court.
Yeah, because
that's literally what I'm saying.
I want to hear every detail, like,
why did that guy turn back to the ministry or to the agency or to the SOE and say, I quoted you too few? Why?
Yeah.
Because I want the lawyers to ask that guy, why did you say you quoted them too few? Because do you know what I told you last time about these particular discussions and disputes? Is that it seems that many private sector operators that have to deal with the public sector, they don't go and lock down a specific supply price from suppliers. So, it becomes now the Ministry of Home Affairs' issue, or NAMRA's issue. Just because you couldn't supply, you couldn't fix a price for the duration of your product, or your project. Let's, for example, say, it's a year that you've got to build these, let's say these prefabricated units.
And material is, you know, material prices are fluctuating all the way.
And in between, material prices are fluctuating.
Mostly going up.
So that means the end result will cost you more for what you tendered for.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that you can't go and negotiate this way with your supplier based upon what you are contracted for? Are people really telling me they can't negotiate beforehand?
Okay, but aren't this like one of those things that are very obvious that they should be put like, you know, you should make sure that they're put in mind. It's sort of like, think of it as a contingency planning, where you are just saying that.
You are right. It's contingency planning.
It's totally understandable. First of all, as a contractor, you don't control, build it, build its prices. They can decide.
You don't control, who's the other one? Megabuild's prices.
No.
You can't.
It's their business. They
but what you can do, but what you can do is approach them with a supply contract. I've got this project and I need to fix certain prices for this particular project.
Oh.
So that any prices.
So they can do that?
Helmut, it's basic commercial activity.
Well, believe me, I'm not the only one asking that.
There's a whole bunch of people listening here. But here's the reason why I am stating here.
Yeah.
Why was it made the issue of Namra and why was it made the issue of Home Affairs?
No, just listen to the statement itself. I underquoted you. Now, at this point, if I was at Namra, I would be like, my fault. How?
I would also ask that question. How is that my problem? Because here's the first thing that any...
So I was supposed to give you a tender and then help you quote me.
With an open checkbook.
Are you high?
Exactly. And who's going to answer to ACC? The way that ACC has been acting currently in the past 3 weeks right now, ever since NAMCOR's particular engagement level?
No, point of correction. Ever since the Minister of Urban and Rural Development said they are not working.
Ever since, which is Katima, ne? Ever since Katima, start of the year.
Yeah. They started by investigating him and then took it from there. That's one thing I like about those guys.
So somehow it deflected through the minister's office.
I know.
And it became the problem of the regional council of Zambezi.
Bro became the ignition key.
Okay, so good point to start from. Because here's the thing, Nahamud. The very reason as to why development is not taking place in other parts of the country is the very reason that we're sitting with too many gray areas. Business is not supposed to have gray areas. You have a price, you have a product, the buyer and the seller need to agree with each other on payment method and how that is going to be facilitated, and you go from there. You don't need an economist, you don't need an accountant, you would need the accountant, obviously. But in terms of interpreting activities for you, you don't need PhD'd people to come and explain to you the basics of what a market system should be. Do you know what's one of the other biggest fallacies, Helmut, that we have tried to over-explain here on Eagle FM as well?
Yeah.
You know things like inflation, the inflation rate and the interest rates?
Yeah.
Ne? I've explained many times that the inflation rate is driven by the 10% markup that the private sector businesses continuously put up. Because if you ask them, where does the 10% come from? Why do you have a 10% increase from last year to this year? And all they will tell you is, no, we got bonuses last year. That's not an answer. Why did you add it? Because that means if you still go at the same rate of operation and you will still reach the same level of delivery and you will still reach the same targets, where does this extra 10% come from? Why does a shareholder decide, oh, you know what? Let's push.
Yeah, I want to go to Monaco.
Let's push. You know, I'd like to drive a Lambo. Here on City of Windhoek's speed humps and then intentionally fix it in front of them. Okay, I'd like that extra 10%. If you go to the interest rate discussion, interest rates, Hamoud, are another particular weird thing. Why? Because I discovered from another, he calls himself a rebel economist. His name is Steve Keen, where he explained the liberal economics that exists is that supposedly we, the households, we drive interest rates and we drive the inflation rates.
Not buying that.
But there's only one person that the central bank engages with. The central bank does not engage with Helmut's house or with Dwight's house. They never do. They've never sent me a personal email. They've never showed up at your door, wherever you live, dear listeners, and asked you for your inputs on the latest interest rate adjustments. But before we continue, guys, we're quickly going to take a short break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Windhoek beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Windhoek beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Windhoek, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back.
Yeah. So we sit with these particular discussions, Helmut, based upon there is just too much leeway sometimes that the public sector gives the private sector.
Yeah.
The public sector is there literally to stimulate economic activity. And the private sector just comes and inserts its plug in port onto that activity and say, okay, we'll take it further from there.
What service would you like dispensed? Yeah. I want this one. Okay, so I have the expertise and a team to basically dispense that service. So and, in that case, then, well, and come
we,
on in.
And we will enhance that service offering by putting or positioning what we do on top of that.
Yeah.
So if you've got lovely roads, which is one of the things that sometimes I am proud of, but I'm also annoyed at because I can still say, you know, if you're hungry, you can't eat a tar road. There's nothing you can do there.
Yeah.
The dimension, the discussion that stems from that is, at least you know the trade moves smoothly. And when I stood then at that roadblock here, this one on the way to Okanya, the amount of trucks from the private sector that are just carrying the services that we need across the country, the goods that we need across the country,
yeah,
the things that they are doing to get and to have these things done is phenomenal. And obviously, if you go to a place like South Africa, imagine that times 1,000. So when we see these activities going on and you get to a triple P dimension, you are hoping that the private sector guy shows up, knows what they do, shows levels of professionalism, illustrates expertise in order to enhance what the public service has to do. But now they show up and say, nah, I'm three quarters done with a project. I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to complete the project commitment that I signed on to. But you already paid me. You need to pay me more before I continue with the work. But whose issue was it that you couldn't supply, that you couldn't fix a supply rate for corrugated iron sheets? That was not the government's responsibility. Mm. Whose responsibility was it for that you could not secure a fixed rate for sand? That's not the government's responsibility. You should have known your supply contracts. You should have worked in what you needed to do. Do you know what's the biggest thing that I found out, Helmut?
Yeah.
Namibians, when it comes to the triple P service provision from the private sector to public services, Namibians will continuously underquote each other. Let me get to the heart of the issue. Let me get to the idiocy of how the private sector works. So Namibians will underquote each other as private sector operators for the same tender. Do you know what underquoting creates? It's the first philosophy I learned in marketing. You never undersell. Rather be the most expensive guy. Than being the cheapest, because as the most expensive person, you've accounted for all your costs. You've accounted for your costs. You know it includes water and electricity. For Dwight and Helmut sitting in this studio, for that aircon there being on, for these mics being installed there, for that computer running there, the internet connected, you know you've factored in every dimension of cost, which is an output. The cost is an output. In the marketing philosophy, price is the only mechanism that guarantees you your money. Packaging, distribution, and your promotion activities are the things that literally, no, product, distribution, and your promotion activities are the three other elements that are all, expenses.
Yeah, but you're going to have to keep the prices in a reasonable range before you start being accused.
What is reasonable, Helmut?
Of course, you're going to have
Is reasonable being that you are driving with a car that's 100 years old?
No.
Your shoes have been repurposed?
But also, you don't have be known for price gouging.
Why not? Why not? Do you know that the German government runs on a typewriter, Helmut? Yes. I didn't believe it when Yanis Varoufakis mentioned it. The German government runs on a typewriter. They don't have an e-governance system. We are here
I think that's more of a security issue.
True, but we're here trying to push our government to go e-governance.
Look, that whole crap is...
But our own government first needs to sort out cybersecurity and data protection mechanisms, which is legislation they did not pass.
You know that Hunter's international, fiasco?
Yeah. With Telecom Namibia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, governance activities across some of the most developed countries are left analog.
Yes. And why is the
There's a reason behind that. And the most important reason behind that is security.
Yes.
The digital realm is very convenient, and convenience and security are inversely proportional. They are not directly proportional. Where you have a lot of convenience, security is very, very difficult to guarantee.
And what was what was one of the discussions we had last year? Remember the common cybersecurity attacks taking place? On guess who?
How many of them
on
per week?
On governments? On developing countries? What were they targeting? Specific kinds of knowledge and information. They weren't targeting private sector companies. They weren't targeting your banks. They weren't targeting your bank account. They don't care about that. They want to know who's in your government, what is to be done in your government, and what projects are there.
This is the most painful thing. Picture all the sensitive information that our country have from the security clusters, especially the security clusters, and I'm talking the military, the police, the intelligence guys. If you just move everything to e-governance, first of all, do you have servers where you're going to keep this information? Because if it's in Silicon Valley, that's a serious nation security problem that you're sitting with.
Mm.
But for some reason, no one is actually having this e-governance. I think at least no one that I have heard of looking at it from what are the security implications. We want to access everything at a touch of a button so bad.
Of course.
We're willing to basically ship all the information that is required to be for specific, people only, with a certain security clearance. If it's, take, for example, you have all the information of running your country somewhere halfway across the planet, somewhere in Silicon Valley, and then you have a CrowdStrike fiasco. What happens then?
What happens then?
I'm sorry, the president can't fly off the country to go and attend an important discussion somewhere in Angola because, the system is offline and the damn thing is, governing is sort of like being a pilot. You don't tell people the truth that, oh my God, our country is on fire. No, people are going to panic and cause chaos. Mm. So it's very reasonable to give them partial please calm down. Well, we're just experiencing minor turbulence. Dude, I can see the engine is on fire. What do you mean minor turbulence? If the engine is on fire, it's minor turbulence. Well, what's your definition of the engine is on fire?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, e-governance, look, technology is nice. We're basically surrounded by it. I enjoy the convenience, but the biggest problem is convenience and security are not directly proportional. In other words, when convenience increases, security goes.
Or you just enhance the risk of it.
Because it just
takes one person to get a dodgy email that says, hey, you've won a lotto.
Yeah.
And you don't know that and there are no lotteries in your country. And you click on that executable file.
Oh, well, in high school, my English teacher called those ones yes machines. When you're on the internet, don't be a yes machine. learn to say no. Like, just,
just ignore.
You didn't play any game. Like,
or just ignore.
What did you win?
Or like that scam that's trying to convince me to come and say, yeah, your cloud services, your iCloud is going to be terminated because of lack of payment, but I run on a Google system. Do you see how dumb the scamsters are? They're emailing me to a Gmail account. But anyway, before we continue, let's take a quick ad break.
All right.
Vyelvitsia University for the 2026 applications that are now open for the following new programs that are on offer. Faculty of Health Sciences for the Master of Public Health. Level 9, the mode of delivery will be distance. Areas of specialization include maternal child health, public health nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, and violence prevention and intervention. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vyelvitsia University, where everyone is an achiever.
So, typewriter.
Typewriter, yeah. I mean, it's like you said, Hamon. It depends on the security level. It depends on the kind of Namibian public servant or civil servant that you've got and whether they know not to click on dodgy files when they get in their inbox, in their computer inbox. But that's another discussion for another particular day. At the heart of where we left off was, we could obviously see that visiting the border posts has sort of like brought to light many particular issues regarding triple P's. And the triple P's is, I am really sorry, private sector guys, but don't show up with a Hail Mary guy. And this is also where, you know, I'd like to see more of the public servants or civil servants literally say, standing their ground and saying, no, I don't want to be investigated by ACC.
Yeah.
I've got children to feed. I'm sorry. I've got a house to pay off. I've got responsibilities. We're playing this by the book.
You see,
it's the procurement law or nothing.
You see, now I'm thinking about someone at Namra going, yeah, I know someone cheaper. And then someone cheaper abandons the project.
Or someone cheaper, underquoted someone who knows what their costs are.
Yeah.
Who knows what they want to achieve, for the project. And just because you said, no, I know someone cheaper.
I know a guy.
And the cheaper guy wins, and the cheaper guy shows up at halfway through the project saying, no, but I underquoted you, man. I want more money.
Says I know
a guy.
Why?
Why do you want more money?
Because it's my fault that this whole thing is going to come to a standstill. I made a mistake by undercutting you, therefore it's your fault. I'm abandoning everything. Goodbye. Yeah. Which is why I'm saying I really...
And do you know what's going to be the worst part?
What was that?
Of the abandonment projects. The government will once again put out the same tender to fix what the underquoted guy did. Mm-hmm. Then the original guy they thought about is going to hit them with the same price, which will still be higher.
The problem with
that. And then that guy comes back. He fixes everything. And now you as the executive director or whatever leadership of that particular department that said yes to the underquoting first time.
Yeah.
Now having to fix underquoting's issues and work. Now you're going to explain in your performance review at the end of that year. Okay, so why did we have to pay double for the same job?
Oh, I would love to read the Office of Auditor General's report on that one.
Yeah.
But commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. Private sector guys, congratulations. They say this whole public-private partnership forum, NAMPPF, right? Yeah. Now, you have this whole you know, collab going on, you know, being implemented and being realized in terms of its significance when it comes to development.
Mm.
Because, no man is an island, or so they say. Everyone is always going to need something. So, the complementary relationship between the public and private sector can contribute significantly to Namibia's development. Except not when we are making rookie mistakes like underquoting and then abandoning projects.
Oh, it's not just rookie mistakes, Hamoud. It's a basic human attribute. When I say basic, it's a discussion of, you see it in many, and even in the United States. You will even see it. You'll even see it in the UK.
Mostly when it comes to, especially the U.S., is there.
In South Africa, they had a very lovely term for it, but it has an advanced form to that term.
Okay, look,
I know. And you have to prove that term.
Look, I'm calling this a rookie mistake, because, you know, this is not the first time that the public and private sector in Namibia have worked together to basically exchange services.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the biggest, project we have is the Nicaral Dam, which has been going on for how many years now?
No, it is Namibia's biggest.
It is Namibia's biggest.
Yeah, it's a super dam.
For how long has it been going? It's basically moving from from one financial year to the next.
And it's not done yet, ne?
Yeah.
It's because the actual aim of the dam still needs to be installed, which was the irrigation facilities and the likes. Everyone thought this dam technically is there for extra fresh water supply.
The return on investment.
Helmut, if I tell you whose idea is this dam, I did not believe it when my sister told me, no, the plan for the dam is 100 years old. You literally go Google search that dam. You Google search the engineer. You will find it's a 100-year-old plan. Who thought up this plan? Who introduced this plan now suddenly here in the 20-teens for Namibia to build this dam? Just there.
Someone had a light bulb moment. Maybe someone stumbled.
Most definitely.
Someone stumbled on one of the old projects.
Yeah, on old papers that were just lying there.
Like, I was just sweeping and then I found this.
It's literally like I also can't easily find documents anywhere about... I'll probably have to go somewhere to find the physical documents, but digitally... You won't find anything about Cape Freer.
Huh.
You know Cape Freer.
Uh-uh.
Cape Freer, remember the third phase that I spoke about? The port facility that is planned to be built in Kunene?
Oh, yeah.
Now, it'll be built at Cape Freer. If you go look up Cape Freer, you just see obscure articles and obscure entries and website entries and stuff. You try to get to possibility, does it contain any particular documents anywhere? Zero. Or the internet connection is unstable, meaning the website you're trying to access is that dodgy.
It's stammering.
Yeah, it's that dodgy. So when we try to ask that question about getting the actual gist of the documents, seeing something legit, I mean, you're right. Negartal is still ongoing.
It's still ongoing. That means the guys behind this, you know, the private sector part of the project.
Yeah.
Has been dealing with God knows how many, you know, change in prices over the years. But they didn't say, that means they did their math. And they got the right partners in place to basically, prepare for all these, eventualities.
Who's that? The undercutting guys? Or the Nekartal guys?
The undercutting, obviously, they didn't think that.
You think the undercuttings thought they priced through Helmut?
No, they didn't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. I think that's the biggest question. Why they didn't, think about that? Because you'd expect that, since this is not the first time that a private entity is dealing with a public entity, everyone that basically deals not just, public to private, but even between a private to private for a project that's going over, that's lasting more than 24 hours.
More than installing a bulb.
More than installing a bulb. You would, I mean, obviously these are the things you have to factor in, because why? You don't have the power to freeze time.
Yep. No, you're right. You're 100%.
When fuel prices increase, that translates into anything that needs transporting, the prices are going to go up.
Yep.
Most of those, that will include your construction equipments.
Do you know what's the rental price or the rental rate
for
construction equipment?
I think, someone walked me through, I think one of the, what's this, an excavator.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that was that in Kitmas?
Mm.
Yeah.
What was
per
that?
Day.
Oh, they went on per day?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I've got a worse one for you.
Oh, which one?
So, in 2017, I went with a client here to Hobabas.
2017?
Yeah. They were building a mall literally behind the ShopRite. The ShopRite is on the main street of Hobabas. Now, they built that new shopping mall just behind that, obviously, because there was an open earth there. There was a massive open earth there.
Yeah.
So I was now there, you know, obviously trying to take photos, being the cameraman, covering the event situation. It was the whole day situation. I had to ask permission to be away from the office. So to stage one of the photos, I asked, you know, the contractor, could we move that bobcat? It's a bulldozer.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little bulldozer. It's about this high, Helmut. You've seen it before, with biggish wheels, but it's got a slightly manageable. It almost looks like a toy car. So I asked the lead engineer on the project, could we just have one of those, that specific earth-moving equipment device, stand behind the dignitaries that are busy breaking ground?
Uh-huh.
You know, that photo you are posing with the shovels in the ground.
Yeah.
Can we just have, you know, can we make it look like a proper staged photo, you know?
Yeah.
Something that looks
Let's
proper.
Let's be good at this whole acting thing.
Yeah. And I'm just now there in the element of being the cameraman, yeah. You know, the Mr. Senor Photographer. And then that tall gentleman, I still remember his response. He goes like, so you want me to stop that piece of equipment?
Yeah.
So that you can
take a picture?
No, no. Wait. Yeah. That's the end of his sentence. You want me to stop that piece of equipment?
Yeah.
That is on an hourly rate of $500 an hour for standing here. I was like, what? Yes. It needs to work its hour. So when it comes to engineering services, Helmut, there are rates that they get per day and there are rates that they get per hour that the thing is there.
From 8 to 5.
I just needed it to turn from where the guy was sitting. The guy was still sitting in the thing.
Yeah.
In the small.
He was operating it.
Yeah. But he was just sitting there because they had to get out of the shot because they were busy kicking up dust and because the wind was picking up. And all I wanted to do was, since they flattened it nicely, can you just come back and just position the device right behind the dignitary?
Yeah.
I just needed 5 minutes of his time.
Oh,
just for
yeah.
him to turn like
Turns
that.
Out in that world, 5 minutes is...
Is money. Five minutes is literally money. So, when we are talking about this particular discussion, dear listeners, please... The next time you have a bright spark idea, a light bulb moment to participate in Triple Penis, ne? Sorry.
We all have clean minds.
In the Triple P aspect of the Namibian economy, I'm sorry. Kindly do remember that you better
do your math
very properly.
Do your homework.
And make sure your girlfriend and your wife, your side chick, who will be defending your money, is sitting next to you doing that math if you don't have your own accountant by now.
I
want to complain, Ahmad?
Yeah. Please make sure they are in their winter outfit if we are talking about a site. Because if it's in their summer outfit, you are going to end up undercutting people. Until tomorrow, same time, same place,
guys. Let's see each other again. Stay tuned for the next program after the break.
Yeah.